Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 2, we'll read this chapter. I know it's got 25 verses, but I think we can handle it. Genesis chapter 2, let's begin reading. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first, Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. So if you can find that place, folks, and you're an excavator, the Bible says there's gold there. I wish I knew where it was at. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone, and the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is at the compass of the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is, which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. You probably recognize that river. That river is still in existence today, the Euphrates River. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and the wife, and were not ashamed. Father, please help me this evening as we discuss Genesis chapter 2. I pray that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they'll trust you this evening. I do pray that your Holy Spirit will please meet with us, convicting hearts where they need to be convicted, awakening us to things in our life that we need to correct. And for that soul that doesn't know you, that they'll trust you this morning or this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Three things that I want to discuss in Genesis chapter 2. The first thing is God rested on the seventh day. God took 6 days to create all that we have here. And if you were to study it out, we talked about it the last time, where the first 3 days coincided with the next 3 days. He created this for this, he created this for this, and he created this for this. But it was all for man. And God created man for his glory. God wanted fellowship, and so God created man. But the Bible clearly tells us that on the seventh day, and by the way, not everything that you read in Genesis chapter 2 is in sequence. For example, verse 18 says, I will make him a helpmeet. In the very next verse it says, and he formed animals out of the ground. That is not our helpmeet, men. Animals are not our helpmeet, okay? As a matter of fact, we know that he made birds before he made animals. It's just telling us how he made the animals. He made them out of the ground as well as he made us. And Adam, of course, had the responsibility of naming them. But we'll see here in the first couple of verses of chapter 2 that God rested on the seventh day, which brings a great question. Why do we have church on Sunday? If God made Sabbath on Saturday. All right. So why do we have church on Sunday? It's the only commandment not reiterated in the New Testament, by the way. You know, the first nine commandments, the Ten Commandments, we have the Ten Commandments, and one of the Ten Commandments is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But in the New Testament, that commandment is never reiterated. And there's reasons for that. I'm going to just let you know that the New Testament doesn't mention that we are to make the Sabbath day holy. Now, we know that the Sabbath day as day seven, or what we would call Saturday. And we do know that the Lord did rest. And I want you to know when the Bible says the Lord rested, it's not that the Lord needed rest. The Lord wasn't tired. The Lord never gets tired. He never gets weary. And He never needs rest. However, I believe that He was giving us an example of how we are going to maintain our health. All right? I believe that we're created for 6/7 of work. That means everybody needs to take a day and rest. If you're working 7 days a week, it's probably not going to be very healthy for you. Now, some people have to do it because of their jobs, but those people are usually frazzled and usually end up having health issues and things go awry. Family issues, health issues, a lot of things take place. But I do believe that God was giving us an example. Not that God needed to rest, but God wanted to let you know it's okay to rest. Now notice, He rested 1/7, not 7/7. He didn't even rest 6/7. We're not supposed to work one day and then rest for six. You know, I believe that a lot of people are unhappy because a lot of people have been, for the lifetime, trying to figure out how to get out of work. How can I get by with doing as little as possible? And that does not produce happiness. God created man to want to work. As a matter of fact, one of the curses that God put on mankind is not work. Adam had a job before he ever was a sinner. God created you and I with a purpose. We are to work. We are to do something with ourselves, with our life. And I will tell you that with the ministry and the job that I have, there's not necessarily a lot of physical labor that goes on it, but there is a lot of mental labor and there's a lot of spiritual labor, I suppose you could say. There's a lot of emotional labor that goes on it. And so when I get out and I do something like I mow the grass, or if I have to go out and physically work for a little while, I find it refreshing. I find it helps me mentally. I find it helps me spiritually, and I find it helps me emotionally a lot of times. There's something to a good, honest day's hard labor. There really is. Most of the time, though, we find that society today, we find people always trying to skirt around the idea of being responsible in physical activity or work. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. So I'm not sitting here telling you that God is saying, hey, you should rest it up. But I am saying to you that you need rest. Biblical example God gave us. God allowed us to have that. And I do find a 1/7 of rest and 6/7 of work. But it is important that we rest. However, Sunday is a day of recognition that we have chosen, that we have services on. We recognize what the Lord did for us. he arose from the grave. I'm going to read you something that I read in a commentary, so bear with me. Here's what it says. The only explanation as to why the early church established a new day of worship unrelated to the Sabbath and the existing calendar was that Sunday was the day of the Lord's resurrection. He not only arose on Sunday, but six post-resurrection appearances were also on Sunday. And the day of Pentecost, when the body of Christ was formed, fell on a Sunday. In Revelations chapter 1, verse 10, you have the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. And here's what the Bible says. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's a Sunday. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. See, even in Revelation, it is called the Lord's Day, a term similar to the Lord's Supper, and used by the believers to pretest the contrast that the emperor had. He called it August Day. And so they were saying, well, Sunday's the Lord's Day. You can have your Emperor's Day or August Day, but we're going to take the first day of the week, which is Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to call it the Lord's Day. And so here, even in Revelation, the last book of the Bible, we have Sunday called the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day, then, is the first day of the week, the day of His resurrection, and the day used by believers to celebrate the greatest event in history. When the believers went to the synagogue, now we do have reference that the believers went to the synagogue. I found this interesting. When the believers went to the synagogue services on Sabbath, they went to evangelize. When they met with other believers for fellowship and instruction, it was always on Sunday. The result of neglecting the Lord's Day is to slight Him, to blunt the testimony to His resurrection, and to miss the benefits of the ministry and protection of the corporate worship. That was from a commentator. We worship on Sunday. Sabbath day was something special for the nation of Israel. That was under the law. The law was our schoolmaster, our teacher, to bring us to Christ. Now Christ came. He rent the veil, the temple veil, and He made open for all of us to be able to go in at any time we want and speak to the King of Kings. And so, on His resurrection, even in the Bible, He says, when we do communion, and we're going to do communion at least one time this year and maybe twice, but when we do communion, it says, it's an ordinance of the church to do communion, and that's to remember His death, burial, and of course His resurrection. And we do that in church. And so I want you to know the Lord rested on the Sabbath day, but we don't keep Sabbath day. I do think that you need a day of rest. And if that means when you're working 5 days a week and you have to rest, rest. Some people say, well, I choose Sunday to rest. Well, I'm glad you get to. I hope that coming to church is a rest for you. I really do. I hope it's a refreshment to you. I want you to know, for me, it's not a day of rest. All right? Sunday is a very, 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 very busy day. The two busiest days I have, Sundays and Wednesdays. And the most exhausting days that I have are Sundays and Wednesdays. I always found it interesting. When I was an assistant pastor, my dad, of course, you always knew my dad took Mondays off. He always took Mondays off. And I always thought, man, I'm the kind of guy that would take Fridays off if I could take a day off. And so that was my determination when I came. I'm just going to take Fridays off. Here's what's happened, though. Monday morning, I don't feel like getting up and going. That's just the way it is. I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. And I'm thinking, why? And so I have found myself not necessarily declaring Monday as a day of rest, but I find Monday being, and then I find out Tuesday, I feel more energized to go door-to-door soul winning. I try to go on Tuesdays, door-to-door soul winning. I find more energy to read. I find more energy to study, just simply by taking one day off. I find this interesting as well. When I was an assistant pastor, I was responsible for a lot of things, and sometimes that happens when you have an assistant. And when you have a large ministry, you end up being the youth pastor, the bus director, the Bible teacher, the basketball coach, the financial pastor, the associate pastor, and the youth pastor. You find yourself doing a lot of responsibilities and teaching Bible class and different things. And so I was responsible for a lot of things, and I told somebody, I said, I just need to get away. And so somebody loaned me a camper, and I took this little camper. I took it 20 minutes away, found this little campground, and I parked there for 2 days. And to me, I'm thinking, this is not going to help me at all. I don't know why I'm even doing this. I have so much to do. I cannot tell you how good it was for me. Just the 2 days of just being in a camper and really just sitting there looking at a fire with a stick. I didn't go fishing. I don't remember doing anything. You'd ask my wife, she'd remember more what we did. But I mean, all I remember is just sitting there just doing nothing. And when I came back, I was ready to go again. It's remarkable how God has made us to rest. And so let me encourage you in doing that. So I find that we rest, and I want you to know that we rest. We don't have a Sabbath day like they did in the Old Testament, but we do have Sunday. So we meet on Sunday and not on Saturday. Number two, I want you to see that God created man. This is important, especially with all that's being taught in the schools, how we evolved. You know, even if you watch television programs, they throw in these little things like, we haven't evolved to where we want to be yet. You know, I don't know what they want to be. But, you know, I do believe that we can grow and educate ourselves, and I believe that we can learn. I found it interesting that, you know, we have had a boom in technology from basically the 80s to now. I mean, our technology has boomed. I did find it interesting that the first cellular phone was created in 1940, and the government kept it under wraps because they didn't want it to get out. FM radio was boycotted by AM radio, and FM radio was around long before it ever became known because AM radio decided to keep it underfoot. So technology has been around a whole lot longer than you and I would ever imagine or think. But it is interesting that once that floodgate opened, but we can't get over the idea that we came from a monkey. You know, they can take a cell phone and let you communicate with somebody. I remember when I was a kid, 1982, 83, remember the show Knight Rider? What a neat invention. A car that could talk. And you could call people. I seen people with car phones back in the 80s, and I think, I bet you that's $100 an hour per minute. You know, I just, technology is wonderful. I enjoy technology. My cell phone is my GPS, it's my internet, it's my phone. I do use it for a phone once in a while, but hardly ever do I use it for a phone. I usually use it for something else, my Facebook account or whatnot. But technology is wonderful. But we can't get over the idea that we didn't get created by God. We have to fight the idea that we came from a monkey. That is hogwash and applesauce. Young person, you did not come from a monkey. You were created by God. On the sixth day, God created man. Now we find here that Bible tells us how God created man. He formed man out of the dust of the ground. You know, why did God do that? Why did God say, let there be light, and there was light? And God said, let this, and then when he came to man, he said, okay, form man out of the dust of the ground, breathed on it, and man became a living soul. You know why? He wants us to remember that we're nothing but glorified mud. All right? We're very precious to him, but from dust we came and dust we shall return. Now, God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and God's holy breath, inspired breath, breathed to us, and we became a living soul. And I'm thankful for that. We were created out of dust. Hey, we were created to tend the garden. That goes back to what I was telling you before. God created mankind to work. I really believe this, that most unsatisfied people is because they're not busy. They're not working people. When I was growing up, the old saying, idle hands are the devil's playground. You ever heard that saying? You're not busy, you're going to be if you're not busy doing what you should be doing, you're going to be busy doing what you shouldn't be doing. So, work. Nothing wrong with it. And I know that in the seasons of our life, work changes. I understand that. You know, when you're younger, you could do things. When you're older, you can't do what you used to be able to do. But you still can do something and be productive. I can't tell you how many people I've known that decided that they would retire, and they retired, and they just didn't do anything, and then 6-7 months later, they died. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody like that? I have. It's because they lost purpose. God created human beings for purpose. You and I have a purpose, and when you decide that you have no purpose, then you just don't feel like that you're worth anything. And I want you to know that you're worth a lot. How much are you worth? You're worth this much. And then he died on the cross for your sins. He loves you, so you're worth a lot. Man was created to tend the garden. He was working. And then he was created to name the animals. Isn't that great? He got to name all the animals. And I don't know exactly. I mean, I've imagined this before, but there must have been some kind of procession. Adam sitting there on some tree stump, which probably wouldn't have happened. That means the tree would have had to die. So Adam was sitting on a rock. And all of a sudden, here comes an elephant. Big gray thing, big ears, long nose. I'll call that an elephant. Here comes an animal with a big hump on its back. I'll call that a camel. Here flies down a couple of birds. Oh, I'll call that a robin. I'll call that a cardinal. That looks like an eagle. And Adam got to name all the animals. Adam was a very intelligent man. You know, when we get to the next part, chapter 3, Adam talks, or Eve, is talking to a serpent. And scientists are like, that's impossible. A snake's jaw cannot move in order to talk to people. Well, I never found in Scripture where it said that they spoke human. See, I believe Adam and Eve were so intelligent, they could speak all language. A dog barks, he could speak dog. A cow moos, he can speak cow. You ever thought of that? You evolutionists? Maybe animals couldn't speak human, but watch this. Watch, you ready? I'm going to show you something pretty good. Meow. I could sound like a cow. Almost. So, human beings have been given an incredible amount of ability to form our words and sounds. So who says that the snake had to speak human? Maybe the human spoke snake. I don't know. But I do know that Adam got to name all the animals. And listen, I want you to know that God's not going to call you to name all the animals. That job's already been taken care of. And he's not going to have you take care of the Garden of Eden. We don't even know where the Garden of Eden is necessarily. But it's still our responsibility to take care of this earth. Now, I'm not a global warmest kind of guy. I don't think the earth's warming up and all that. I'm not concerned about the humpback whale not making it. And I'm not concerned about the polar bear passing away. I do find it interesting, again, I find a lot of things interesting tonight, don't I? I do find it interesting that the water level, the ocean levels have gone down over the last couple of years. And the scientific, I think NASA or somebody's doing this, geographical, whatever, the people that do the ocean levels have gone down. Why? Because there's more ice up north and down south, which is freezing. And so that doesn't sound like global warming to me. And so I'm not one of those, you know, planet, Captain Planet or whatever you call them. But I am telling us that we are responsible for this planet. We should not unnecessarily just go around cutting down trees just because we want to cut down a tree. Now, if we have a purpose to cut down a tree, cut down a tree. You want to build a log cabin? By all means, enjoy yourself. But just to set fire to a set of woods just to watch it burn is not responsible. Kicking your dog because you just don't like dogs is not responsible. I'll give you a verse for that. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 12:10. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. I am supposed to like my animals. Yeah, it's hard to sometimes. A righteous man regardeth the life of the beast. So when I was growing up, I hear people saying things like, yeah, we had a bunch of kittens and we took care of them. Well, I'm sure God didn't go, ha, ha, ha. God was very upset about that. I didn't realize that until I got to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, where it says, a righteous man regardeth the life of a beast. You want to go deer hunting? Go. But just don't go to kill a deer. Go to provide for your family. You're not going out there just to kill somebody. As a matter of fact, the older I get, the less I want to kill anything. I kind of want to kill spiders still and snakes, but I really, you know, poor fly, he's got 24 hours to live. I'll let him go. I have no problem with hunting. I have no problem with fishing. I have no problem with doing any of those things. But I want you to know that we are responsible and we should take regard to what God has created. Now, the point is this. God has created you for a purpose. He created Adam for a purpose. He gave Adam responsibility. And God has created us for a purpose. It may not be naming animals, but He has something for you to do. You're very special to Christ. As a matter of fact, you're special to Christ. You're as special to Christ as Adam was. He loves you the same amount that He loved Adam. And He wants to walk with you as close as He used to walk with Adam. Now, when you start thinking that you're as special to God as Adam was, that makes you pretty special. Finally, I want you to know that God created a helpmeet. Very clearly, it tells us that He created a helpmeet out of Adam's rib. God caused Adam to fall asleep. Here we have sleep. And then we have our first surgery in the Bible, done by God. He caused Adam to fall asleep, and He goes in and He takes a rib out of Adam's side. Not out of Adam's head for the man to rule over the woman, nor out of his foot so that he can crush her, but out of the side, closest to the heart, to protect and to be a helpmeet, to come alongside of and help in life. It's a very special relationship. And God created a helpmeet. He created Adam and Eve. And you've heard it said, He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. The homosexual lifestyle is a sin. And I'll say it again. I don't hate them, nor do I hate you. But I do not want sin. I don't want my sin to be glorified and promoted. I don't want their sin to be glorified nor promoted. I don't want my sin to be forced upon as to be acceptable. And I do not want their sin to be forced upon me as to be acceptable, especially when it clearly goes against the Word of God. But God did create a helpmeet. Adam, here's your new wife, Eve. Hey, this is a picture of the church, and I'm going to share something with you that I believe will help you throughout your life. I believe it will change the way you and I think about ministry and about service. God created Eve to be a helpmeet, and the marital vows, husband and wife, that is a picture of Christ and the church. You know that, right? The husband is a picture of Christ, and the wife, the bride, is a picture of the church. A helpmeet. The wife is not a servant to the husband. Not a slave to the husband. A wife can serve the husband, and the husband can serve the wife, but that's not the intent. The intent is to serve together. Now, if I were to ask you this question, are you serving God? Most of us would think, I hope to. But I want you to think of it differently. I don't want you to sit there and think, well, I'm out there serving God. We're not, and we do serve God. Joshua said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just like a wife can serve her husband. Every once in a while, my wife will serve me food. I like that. And every once in a while, I'll serve her. Service. God loves us. He died for us. If you're saved, you're part of His bride. And we don't necessarily serve the Lord as much as we serve with the Lord. And if you and I could get the concept that, well, I need to go out there and serve the Lord today. Go door to door and serve the Lord. No, I'm not going and serving the Lord. I'm going and serving with the Lord. Because He said, Matthew chapter 28, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And young person, teenager, adult, God doesn't want you to serve Him. He wants you to serve with Him. That means God goes everywhere I go. It's not like, all right, God, I'm going to go out there. And isn't it better to serve, to work for, to be under, submitted to someone that doesn't tell you to do something but goes out and does it with you? You're working a physical labor job and the boss could say, hey, go over there and dig a ditch. And because you're working 9 to 5 or whatever, you'll go grab a shovel and you're not happy about it, but you're digging a ditch. But isn't it much better spirit when the boss says, hey, come with me. We're going to go dig a ditch. And he has a shovel in his hand and you have a shovel in your hand, and all of a sudden it's a different attitude that you take. You're not serving Him, you're serving with Him. And you know what? Sometimes I think we as Christians, we're like, we got to go out and serve the Lord. He's sitting on the throne of heaven telling us to go out and do this. I hope we don't get shot. And He doesn't do that. He says, hey, let's go serve. We don't serve the Lord nearly as much as we serve with the Lord. Because we are His helpmeet. Now, does God need our help? Obviously not. He's God. But it's a picture that we serve alongside of our God. I believe that it's time that we are freed from the rules of our parents, found here. You want to be freed from the rules of your parents? I believe it's for this call shall a man leave his father and mother, this marital vow. And I like this interesting, this is interesting to me, the last part of the verse. And they were both naked, man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were not ashamed because they had no sin nature. And they were clothed in the righteousness of God. But unfortunately, not very many verses after this, that all changes. Tonight we've seen the importance of rest. We've seen the responsibility of mankind. And we've seen the importance of our helpmeet. See, we are to be helpmeet of God. We are to serve with Him. Maybe tonight you need to serve God and you've decided by this conviction of the Holy Spirit to serve alongside of Christ. That would be a terrific decision. Maybe you're not even saved. You know, any relationship, there has to come a time where you meet the person first. Adam was created, and then Eve was created for Adam. I do believe that if God has intentions for you to marry, then He has someone He created for you. I believe my wife Amanda was created for me. I believe I also was created for her. But God created Adam and Eve. And the first time that Adam ever met Eve is when he woke up after that surgery. And he looked up, and you can read it right in the Bible. He looks at her and he calls her. He goes, whoa, man. And that stuck. And we just call her a woman. There was a beginning of a relationship. That was a start. That was not the end. That was the beginning. Salvation is a beginning of a relationship. It's a start. It's not the end. And when a person makes the decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're saved. That's a beginning of a relationship. And from there on, that relationship should grow as you seek to grow closer to Christ. He says it this way, you draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. That's why we have church, that's why we have the Bible, so we can grow closer in our relationship with Christ. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, then you need to trust Him today.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.